listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. The question everybody is asking, at least what I get asked a whole lot, is the question revolving the technologies that are being unleashed upon us, mostly without our knowledge and definitely without our consent. I mean, you can take your constitutional rights and your Bill of Rights and basically chuck them out the window and burn them here in America, because they mean little or next to nothing. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which are supposedly the ultimate law of we the people in America, there has been a coup d'etat. There has been an open revolution right in front of our eyes, but it has been disguised by highly complex and obscure wording and terminology. In other words, they have told us what they're doing, but they're using very sophisticated computer language, psychiatric language, digital technological language. So it's not really in your face apparent to the average person. And I'll go back to this statistic, and I believe it's true. I believe it's conservatively true. I think the real number is quite higher. And that would be the assessment by many thinking professionals, that about 50% of the American people currently live their lives in a, but by all psychological and psychiatric definitions, 50% of all Americans are living their lives in a trance state. Now, I'm not joking, I'm not trying to be cute or sarcastic, but when the psychologists explain what it means for 50% of the American people to be living in a trance state, what that meant is that 50% of Americans collectively are in a hypnotic state. This is very, very serious, because when you have 50% of the population, and I think it's higher than that, when you have 50% of the population in a mass hypnotic state, what you have is 50% of the population that no longer have the God-given neurological and cognitive abilities to think independently, to think for themselves, to think rationally, logically, objectively. They no longer have the ability to do their own research, look at historical precedent, and we could go on and on. Now, this is like hyper dangerous, because according to a psychological study that I believe is largely true, I don't care what anybody says, it's largely true because it confirms my own research lasting 40 years on the subject. You know, when I was at the University of Missouri, I had a dual major, filmmaking and psychology. But in the Department of Psychology, my specific major was the brand new field of altered states of consciousness. So, you know, I've been studying these type of things for decades and decades and decades. Now, an altered state of consciousness can be a hypnotic state. It is simply an altering of your normal state of consciousness through drugs, through shock, trauma, pain, hypnosis, and any number of things. So if we have 50% of the American population in a mass collective hypnotic state, they are no longer capable neurologically of making realistic decisions. They're no longer capable of exercising any kind of valid spiritual or psychological discernment, because it's like somebody unplugged their brain. Now, the good news is, because the consensus, because the societal equilibrium has become collectively unbalanced, it's not solidified, it's not nailed down, which for you and for me is a very good thing, depending upon how we perceive it. And our perception of the reality that our nation and society is in a very unbalanced state of equilibrium right now, I believe is an extremely positive event for us. Because what it means in practical terms is that the 50% that are living in this trance state, this mass collective hypnotic state, they are no longer secure about their position. They're no longer secure about their ideology, their belief system, their perceptions. They're very, at this particular moment in history, they're very insecure about whether or not their view of our reality is accurate or valid. And again, that's a good thing. Their equilibrium is off balance, which again is a good thing. They're no longer nailed down to the official Orwellian Big Brother propaganda point of view, which has been the case for the last 60 years. For the last 60 years, we've basically seen an uninterrupted flow or downloading of propaganda, scientific mind control, hypnotic programming, and social engineering being embedded into the personalities and so-called identities of hundreds of millions of people. So as a consequence, they were marching in lockstep. And isn't that ironic that I would use that word, because they use the word lockstep in terms of how to program the masses to respond to COVID and the vaccination. But for the last 60 years, the American people have been largely marching in scientific mind control, social engineering, lockstep. And there were so many things in that state of consciousness, which is, the fact of the matter is, they succumbed, they surrendered to a hypnotic state of consciousness, and they surrendered to the messaging of propaganda. Now, the result of that was that the average American was totally married to, totally glued to, totally bonded to a whole bunch of, let's call them sacred cows, almost religious beliefs. And they held to these religious beliefs like Eastern mystical disciples would hold to their religious beliefs, despite the fact that there's no reason, rationalism, or history to back up the belief system. So, once upon a time in America, and we're in a state of flux, we're in a state of massive transformation, where things are finally starting to break loose, finally starting to break free. And if we pray and engage, and first of all, we need to learn properly the dynamics and disciplines of high-level spiritual warfare. This is not, and I'm not disparaging a male or female who's elderly by saying this. But this is not an old lady or an old man's game. And the only reason they do it is because you think falsely they're feeble and their perception is weak. Oh no, their perception is not weak, it's valid. Their appraisal is not diluted, it's strong and firm. So any younger person or anybody from a younger generation, when you look at a very large number or percentage of the older generation and you misdiagnose them as being intellectually weak or feeble or susceptible to manipulation, you are flat out, drop dead, cold, wrong. You know, I could have said drop dead gorgeous. And almost did. But I said drop dead something to the effect of cold, wrong. You're wrong in your perception of these people. They are drop dead gorgeous, both male and female. They are because, you see, they have common sense. And younger generations and bureaucrats and politicians and, you know, the numerous people who compose the parade of fools, all of them in their pride, and the Bible says pride comes before a fall, all of them in their pride misjudge the power, the raw power that having common sense brings you. Do not ever underestimate the God-given gift and the God-given power of common sense. As long as that common sense was forged in the fires of a biblical worldview and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Assuming that a person's common sense was built by the Word of God and the Spirit of truth, then common sense is evidence of an unusual and extraordinary mental capability, mental asset known as common sense. Why? Because of social engineering, because of scientific mind control, because of propaganda, because of brainwashing, and all the other incredibly stupid and inane things that the hidden elite have been programming year after year into the minds and brains of our children and grandchildren and so on and so forth. I'm not putting them down. They were not born genetically without common sense. God didn't allow them to be born with a deficit of common sense. It was just that common sense was viciously attacked when they discovered it inside of them. And let me give you another term for common sense, which is more precisely biblical. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So what common sense can give you today? How would you like to have a gift of infinite value and worth personally given to you today? And that if you accept it with gratitude and you use it, it will change your life for the better forever, starting right now, today. Okay, I would like to be so presumptuous, so brash, if you will. I would like to give you that gift. It really isn't mine to give you. It's God that's giving it to you, and it's God that's been giving it to you all along. So your thanks should be to God, because God is the giver of this gift. He just uses whoever he chooses to give that gift to his people. So right now, while you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report, and I'm Paul McGuire, I am, by faith, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to reach out by faith and give you this gift from God. So we're going to play a little make-believe game. People can think we're stupid and foolish. I really don't care. But right now, I'd like you to receive it by faith. This isn't magic. This isn't some weird ritual. What this is kind of like a learning game that will help you remember what God gave you by going through this kind of enactment, this process. I'm doing it for the intention of using it as a learning aid so it can help you to always remember what God gave you. So you don't have to do it in front of anybody, but reach out your hand. And don't worry, you know what? Don't get hung up about it. The Bible says that, you know, we're to be innocent as little children. It's when we become like little children, open and trusting. It's when we become like little children that God can really use us. Now, don't mix that up with being gullible or naive. No, I'm not talking about that. But if you're willing to play a little game, and that's what we're playing, a learning game, with the heart of a little child, I believe God will use this to help you remember and deposit something of incredible value in your life, which is something most likely he's been giving you for years. We're just doing it kind of ceremonially. So reach out your hand. You don't have to do it in front of anybody because then you'll probably have to answer dumb questions. Reach out your hand, and I'm going to place this gift that God has given you and giving you now. It's invisible, so you have to receive it by faith. I'm going to place into your hands right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the gift that God wants to give you, which is the gift of common sense or wisdom or a sound mind. Because they actually mean pretty much the same thing. So I want you to receive by faith the gift of common sense and the gift of sound-mindedness. And just receive it and thank the Lord for giving you this gift, which he's been giving you your entire lifetime, by the way, as he's been giving me. Okay, so remember that. That's all. Remember that God has already given you the gift of common sense. And in the Bible verse that says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind," remember, the gift of common sense is basically equated to the gift of power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind is common sense. That's the ability to look at life, to analyze, to review situations based on your past experiences, good and bad, your learning experiences, and all of that put together becomes common sense or sound-mindedness. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal? Why are you talking about this? Because our children and grandchildren, our society as a general, in general, America in general, we can no longer assume that the average American, child, adult, or whatever, we can no longer assume that the average American still possesses what they used to call common sense or sound-mindedness. Just turn on a TV and look at the insanity that spewing out of the minds of people, the mouths of people on television. I'm talking about the so-called, you know, television experts, the advice experts, whatever show you watch. I was channel surfing with my wife last night, and we happened to, we don't watch the show, but we happened to catch, I don't know, a certain amount of minutes of one of these, like, it's either The Bachelor, I think it's The Bachelor, not The Bachelorette, so it has to be The Bachelor. And this guy who was the handsome guy that all the girls wanted him to marry, the lead male who was the bachelor, the whole time we were watching the show, he kept saying about himself that he was confused. He didn't know what to do because he was in love with three girls or three women at the same time. Okay, you already know the answer to what I'm going to say, and that is, you know, and I know, if he had an ounce of common sense, which he obviously didn't, he wouldn't run around saying, I'm in love with three women at the same time. Because that violates centuries of common sense. It violates the principle of sound-mindedness. It violates having power, love, and a sound mind. Common sense. I mean, maybe there are some exceptions, but look, it's been my life experience through being a pastor and counseling people at Paradise Mountain Church. It's been my experience through observation and knowing people, etc., etc., that for the most part, if somebody claims to fall in love with a particular person, there's no room in their heart for additional people. Their heart is too crowded. Now, look, I'm not saying there may not be some exceptions. I'm not saying that you may have been one of those exceptions. I'm simply saying that as a general rule, if you use your common sense, or you're really honest with yourself, you realize that If what you call is love, and you're really in love, I'm not talking about being in lust, that's totally different. If you're really in love, you're in love with one person, not three. If you really know what love is. Now, we all know there's three kinds of love according to the Bible. There's filial love, which is a love between a mother and her children, or a father and the children, or between a brother and sister. That's a natural human bonding love that the unsaved and the saved have. Then there's what we call eros, or erotic love. Believe me, in today's society, nobody needs to be told what erotic love is. Erotic love, it all boils down to this question. A person, it's erotic love is totally selfish love. It's based on the question, what can the other person do for me? What can the other person bring me in terms of pleasure? It all has to do with what a person can bring to another person. So it's totally selfish. And it usually involves romantic love, emotional romantic love, and sexual love. And it boils down to, like, how can you meet my needs romantically, sexually, or whatever. Then finally, there's the highest form of love, which is the agape love of Jesus Christ. This is selfless love. This is love which loves somebody else so much that if you have agape love, you're willing to die for somebody else. You're willing to give up your life and your rights in order to love somebody else. And the model is Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he died on the cross for us that we have eternal life. So if these girls in the Bachelor program and the guy really examined their relationships And if the guy was honest with himself, which he was not, he couldn't have been in love with three people. Because the only way you can be in love with three people at the same time is if your category of what the word love means is eros or erotic or romantic or sexual love. So yeah, a guy or a girl could say, I'm in love with three people at the same time because the love is really erotic or romantic love. So as long as he perceives or the girls perceive that three guys or three girls are all capable of meeting his, in this particular case it's the guy, are all capable of meeting his romantic sexual needs, then yeah, I guess you could say with a weakened definition of love that he's in love with three people at the same time. Because three girls at the same time have the potential or the capacity to meet his romantic and sexual needs. So during the show, he sleeps with two of them. Now, the girl that he really likes, and I'm not sure for what reasons, the girl that he says that he really likes, I'm sure it was based on the category of erotic, romantic, and sexual love. But that's the girl that he wanted to marry. So what happens is, as they're having this like final question, she wants to ask him some tough questions. So he answers them truthfully, basically because he had to. And he admits that even though he wanted to marry her, he had slept with two of the other girls. And he had told two of the other girls that he loved them. Well, this was a strong woman that he was talking to. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. That was the end of the relationship. She basically said to him, and she was right, if you really love me, you would not have slept with the two girls, and you would not have told me I love them. Now, nobody was a strong Christian, including the girl that was upset. So she left, and the show is going to continue on. But at the present moment, he now has, as the bachelor, he lost all, I'm laughing, not because I'm happy for the sadness, but it's just so ridiculous that I have to laugh. He now has no girls. He lost them all. And part of the problem is his, but part of the problem is he's raised in an environment that doesn't teach him what love is. Okay, so, and his generation, I'm guessing he was like 28 years old, and three girls were like anywhere from 23, I'm guessing, to 27, 26 years old. But you know what? They didn't have the common sense that women and men used to have generations ago. That's why I'm saying to you that common sense has infinite worth and value, just not appreciated by the masses. But if he had common sense, which people used to have regarding these matters, he wouldn't have made all these stupid mistakes. The girls wouldn't have made these stupid mistakes. And he may very well have ended up marrying the right girl, and he may very well have had a long-term marriage and lived happily ever after. But what they were all lacking, and you know, I can't just like blame them, because our society is void of common sense. He was lacking common sense. So common sense, even though your friends, your relative, your children, your grandchildren may not like you for it, that's only because they can't recognize real gold when they see it. Common sense is the same thing as having a sound mind. It has tremendous value. Okay, that same common sense can be applied to every area of life. You hear me continually talk about knowledge is power and doing your homework. Well, yes, that's all true. That's all true. But, you know, we can't all be an expert on everything. I mean, God forbid that you would have me do surgery, brain surgery on you, because I don't have a clue about what to do with brain surgery. None of us can be experts in everything, but we can use our common sense. And common sense, by the way, let's not forget this. See, they're trying to brainwash our children. I shouldn't say they're trying to. They are brainwashing our children and many generations of children and adults. They want to brainwash them to wash out biblical sound-mindedness out of their lives, and they want to wash out biblical common sense out of their lives. And they want to replace it with foolishness, also known as humanistic wisdom. And the thing about humanistic wisdom, that's all wisdom based on the erroneous belief that there is no God, there is no creator, and the Bible is nothing more than a bunch of fairy tales. Okay, so if you're making the most important decisions in life based on this massive erroneous falsehood that there is no God, no creator, and the Bible's just a book of fairy tales, guess what? You don't have common sense anymore. You have humanistic wisdom. And when you look at people's lives, when you look at nations, when you look at our society, you see that humanistic wisdom is a disaster. It's a life killer. It doesn't work. It doesn't stand the test of time. So going back to the bachelor program and the guy and the three girls, if they had common sense instead of humanistic wisdom, they were filled with humanistic wisdom. And I don't want to get into the sexual area because I don't want to end up offending people. But let's just put it this way. The girls were behaving for the most part by operating on the humanistic rules of our time. And it ended up, because they followed the humanistic rules, they ended up with no prospective husband. The relationship crashed and burned. And even the girl who had the good sense to dump him, she was operating on a percentage of common sense, but she still was drawing a lot from the pool of humanistic foolishness. You know, I'm going to say something with the risk of offending some people, but don't be offended, because I heard this many decades ago, and I heard it most often said by mature Christian women who love the Lord. So based on the fact that I heard what I'm going to tell you now from mature Christian women who walk with the Lord, don't be offended. They were sharing wisdom to other women. And I'm probably not going to say it exactly like they did, so forgive me if for some reason the way I say it is somewhat, you know, not appropriate. I'm not doing it on purpose, but I can remember the general idea of what they said. I can't remember it word for word. But basically what they were telling the young women, and I've heard it used to happen all the time, that the older women and the women that walk with the Lord were trying to disciple the younger Christian women. And so this expression was often used in communicating with the younger Christian women. And basically they said back then, I don't know what they're saying today. I don't know if they're saying anything today. But back then they said, why should a man buy a cow if he can milk it for free? Now, I know that sounds disgusting. I know that sounds derogatory towards women. I know that that statement is from years long past and probably shouldn't be used in today's world because it begs for misunderstanding. But you know what? I like to step out on the edge of the gangplank occasionally. Because it was that expression, that teaching came out of a time when America, the majority of America, worked in agriculture and farms. So it was a very natural thing to tell young women, you know, because it had to deal with marriage and dope, and it was an exhortation to young women to not distribute their sexual favors to men in kind of a loose way. Because what they were telling the younger women, if you're giving away the goods, and we both know what the women meant, the sexual favors, if you're giving away the sex without any obligation, without any commitment from the man, then don't expect him to ask you to marry him as long as he can continue to get the sexual favors he wants for absolutely free. Now, I know that would meet with a lot of laughter in today's society, but that's an illustration of old-fashioned common sense. If it was practiced, and it would be hard to practice because of the nature of our society, but if it was practiced today, you would see far few divorces, far more long-term marriage commitments, and far more sexual satisfaction, emotional satisfaction, and physical satisfaction among married couples. Because these women were wisely telling the young women, look, if you're going to, you know, basically sleep around and let guys do, you know, what they want to do with you sexually, why, you're giving them no incentive to ask them to marry you. Why should they make a marriage commitment to you? That's a big step for a guy. Why should they marry you, the women were telling the young woman, when they can get all the benefits that come to a guy from marriage for free? Now, we all know that that could be like detonating a nuke in the wrong place, but it was old-fashioned common sense. And by the way, for the women who practiced it back then, it would be probably a lot harder to practice it today. And you probably should use a different analogy than the farming analogy. But essentially, it's common sense. Because if the only way, I'm just shooting straight here, okay? So like I'm not going to play games. If women basically, you know, there's an epidemic of divorce. I'm not blaming anybody for that. But part of the reason for the epidemic is a violation of this common sense principle. If the only way men could get to participate in sexual activity with women, which all of us know is highly important to men and women, but probably more important to men. If the only way sexual activity was available to a man was if he actually married a woman, as it was in years past, our whole society would change. People wouldn't be exchanging kids over the weekend. The whole sociological structure of our society would change for the better, based on common sense. Okay, enough of this. I didn't intend to get into milking cows and comparing that to women, because that is like a suicide discourse that no sane man would pursue. So maybe I need to question my sanity. All right, let's use common sense on other areas, though. Common sense. Well, okay, let's use common sense on Professor Klaus Schwab, who's head of the World Economic Forum, okay? Now, if you wanted to know something about a guy, Like, let's say you have a daughter that may be thinking of getting married. You want to know something about the real background of her potential choice in a husband. And that would be true to varying degrees regarding a son. You would want to know something about the background of the woman he was intending on marrying. The same with a job or anything. So you would do a little research. In the old days, you'd ask around. Today, you'd check out somebody's Facebook page or, you know, Instagram or whatever you're using to try to sneakily get information. And women, no, but I don't want any eggs thrown my way. But I would say between men and women, when it comes to, and I'm not putting you down, women, you're using the technological resources of your time. So more power to you. You get my praise and you get my admiration for using the technology that's available to you. You should do it. You should be checking it out. Nothing wrong with it. You say, well, that's sneaking. We're talking about the potential marriage of your daughter or son or whatever. Or maybe it's you that's thinking of getting married again or whatever. Well, you better check out the background, okay? Okay, so there's a guy named Professor Klaus Schwab. He's the head of the World Economic Forum. This institution is, I guess, as powerful, if not more powerful, than the United Nations. They are the independent billionaires, the wealthiest people in the world, the most powerful people in the world are part of the World Economic Forum, and they are the ones that are driving the global reset, the one world government, the one world religion, the one world economic system. They're the ones that use the vaccination as a driving force into medical fascism and a physical global lockdown of the planet. Okay, I see young people, and I see every journalist on television, and they're not journalists, whatever they are, they're posers. They pose. They have expensive suits. They have, you know, Botox injections. They have cosmetic surgery. And I'm not knocking that, okay? But they don't have any brains. I would like to see a little less cosmetic surgery, maybe a few less needles of Botox, and a lot more brains, okay? Because they don't know what I'm telling you now. Here in the Paul, how is it that here in the Paul McGuire Report and other alternative media programs, I have been able to deliver information to you for over 30 years that is more accurate and way, way ahead of the billion-dollar media networks and conglomerates of our world? It used to amaze me when I was the syndicated radio talk show host of the Paul McGuire Show over a decade ago. I would do research with my computer in my office at the radio station. And I would be able to grab from my computer and the internet cutting edge up to the second research globally and cross-reference it to make sure it was accurate. Then I could go on air on my radio station and I could give my audience news that was censored off of the networks, and I could give my audience news, facts, and documentation that would either be hidden forever by the big networks, or it would finally be released, you know, 6 months to a year later. Now, how was I able, day after day, week after week, for over 10 years, able to beat out CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox News, CNN, day after day, week after week, day after day, week after week? How could I beat them out? And by the way, you say, well, how do you know you beat them out? Because I was a regular guest on those, on the biggest news shows, on the biggest networks. This is before most of them turned into a circus. And why was I able to win all the debates always? never lost a debate. It wasn't because I was a rocket scientist. It was because the news people, the on-camera personalities, were more interested in being pretty, beautiful, and personalities, and they had no interest in giving the truth. Plus, they weren't allowed to tell you the truth through their corporate masters. What I'm telling you, you may never hear the truth about Klaus Schwab, because they're going to hide it. They're going to hide it from you day after day, week after week. They're going to hide it from you. And if you just knew a little bit about the people that they were reporting on, which they don't tell you anything about them in terms of revealing the real truth, so you're in the dark. My job is to give you truth, biblical truth, spiritual truth, but also truth in every area. So my job is to make sure you get truth from this program so that you're able to use your own God-given spiritual discernment and the common sense that God's given you and make your own decision. I don't tell you what to think. I just give you the data, which the big news media won't give you, because they're, to be blunt, in bed with the big financiers and the companies and people like Klaus Schwab. Okay, we're going to be back in probably a minute. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We are discounting my books, like, big time. So if you want to get my books, you can get a big discount right now by going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Also, no, I have not forgotten. I apologize. Thank you for your graciousness. But you can still, I'm still making available the discount, financial discount, for my upcoming, soon to be released book. And I know I've been saying that forever. Sorry. Power from On High, which deals with stuff like we're talking about today. And it deals with a lot of truth that you most likely will hear nowhere else. Okay. Now, you need to go to paulmcguire.us. We are in a war. We must change the minds of a significant percentage of Americans. To win this war, we only have to change the minds. Oh, I'd say if we could just change the minds of 10. No, I'm going to be historically accurate. If you and I and anybody else who was making a serious effort could effectively change the minds of just 8% of Americans to 15%, but really, if we had to, if we just changed the minds of 8% of all Americans, we could turn this nation around, and we could turn this nation back on its biblical worldview. Why? Because Jesus said, occupy until he comes. Okay? And you say, Paul, where do you get this percentage, just 8%? Because I study history. And when you study history, you happen to notice that in all these communist revolutions, like, for example, the Russian Communist Revolution, they only converted it when the communists, and who were the communist revolutionaries in Russia? They were prisoners that the international bankers in Europe and America paid big bucks for prisoners to be released out of prison. And the big bankers in the USA paid these prisoners to be communist revolutionaries in Russia. That's the dirty way communism works. And so, once they had paid for or converted a total of 8% of the Russian population into communists, with only 8% believing in communism, they were able to topple the regime of the Tsar and topple Russia. And with only 8% of the people in Russia supporting the communists, they turned Russia, which comparatively speaking was relatively a somewhat prosperous nation, decent at least to the working class and middle class, relatively free in most respects, and you know, it wasn't that bad of a place. But when the communists, just 8% of them, the dirty secret is the international banking families, the billionaires in Wall Street in New York, paid for the guns, the cannons, the machine guns, the ammunition, the prisoners who would become soldiers, and the international bankers and the billionaires, the super capitalists, bankrolled the communist revolution in Russia, slaughtered the innocent Russian people, and killed. It's hard to tell because the communists always lie about the exact numbers. But they killed, just in the communist Russian revolution alone, they probably killed, shot to death, or starved a minimum of 180 million people. In communist China, add another 200 million people. That's about 400 million people were shot in the head, starved to death, tortured, or murdered by just two communist revolutions, China and Russia. And both of those nations, Russia went somewhere between 4% of the people supporting the communists and 8%. So that numerical percentage can be used to apply to Christians, righteous people, and godly people as well. But the enemies of Jesus don't want you to know that. You don't need some massive percentage to turn the direction of America. All you need, according to history, is a tiny percentage of people who believe in America, who believe in Jesus, and who will be led by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. If you can get somewhere between 4% and 8% of the American people to be dedicated to that cause, you can free America from the grips of tyranny, and you can stop this insane totalitarian takeover of America, which is happening right now. We only need 4 to 8%. So that means God has given you the power and the responsibility and the commandment. And by the way, I don't mean to offend my regular listeners who are doing the job, but if there's anybody listening out there and you're sitting on your posterior making phony theological excuses for your apathy, this is what I have to say to you. First of all, I'm not here to be your friend, your buddy. Because a true friend and a true buddy speaks the truth, even if it may temporarily hurt your ego. Because the truth will set you free. But what I'm telling you, straight from the heart, is the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, your neighbor. We either turn America around, listen to me please carefully, we either turn America around this year, because strategically it has to be done this year. We either turn America around this year, or this year we will lose the America we once loved and cherished, along with its biblical values, however imperfect. We will either turn America around this year, or we will lose America forever this year. There are so many things in place, many things that you're not aware of, that have been put in place. And if we continue on in our apathy, which is a sin before God, and if we allow certain things to solidify, materialize, and gain in strength and power, then in this moment of a lack of balance and a loss of equilibrium, the enemies of America, the enemies of God, the enemies of freedom, they will seize the time and they will topple a free America. And once they send in their stormtroopers and their mass surveillance technology and all the rest of the stuff, there will be no way back. There will be no turning back. You understand what I'm saying? This is based on over 40 to 45 years of research. And it's not just me that's saying it. There are many, many people who are highly educated and have done their homework, and they're all saying the exact same thing. So I need your help. Not begging for your help. I would beg for your help. It's not a matter of pride. I just don't think begging is an effective way to ask for help. I'm appealing to your love for God and the moral conscience that God has put in you. And I'm asking you, for the sake of America, the sake of your children and grandchildren, this, for the sake of yourself, because let me tell you something, those of you who are of a certain age, the global reset involves, listen up now, it involves mass euthanasia, the killing off of the elderly when they are no longer deemed necessary to society. You see, you sow what you reap. We killed about 80 million babies in abortion. Well, yeah, God forgives. But the same abortion mentality that has invaded our nation has now morphed into the euthanasia mentality. And 80 million in comparison will seem like a small number to something like the 250 million people they plan to euthanize just because they're old. So for the sake of your own self-preservation, and America, and your children, and so on and so forth, I need you to partner with me to be an intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, and my nation. So I need you to donate, make a financial contribution in light of the task at hand, which is to reach as many people as possible, as fast as we can, and change their minds and educate them, because the battle is in the mind. Then to engage in intercessory prayer warfare, because we're fighting against ultimately principalities and powers, we must evangelize the lost and then spread our messages far and wide. Don't think this momentary reprieve in internet censorship is going to continue in the future. You're just being lulled to sleep by the fact that programs like mine are on the air. They have no intention of keeping the doors of informational freedom open. They intend to shut it down like they did before, because they are totalitarians. So I need your help. Go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a second. Again, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. There are so many other things I want to convey to you in terms of technology, and I want to be able to present to you facts that I know about what is coming and the technology that's coming and the game plan that they intend to play out. And my purpose is to get you up to speed so that you can take a law-abiding and legal stand for your God-given rights. Remember, you're not dealing with people that think like you and I do. They're totalitarians. Okay, so common sense about the World Economic Forum and who Klaus Schwab is, and the whole crew, and common sense about the financial reset and the new global order. Here's what they plan. Oh, by the way, these people are actually, I'm reading to you from one of the official pages of the World Economic Forum. And what I simply did was gather the material and put it in a simplified, more straightforward manner. So the goal of Klaus Schwab, and by the way, Klaus Schwab, his father had deep financial connection with the Nazis, and his grandfather had deep financial connections with the Nazis. They owned large factories that supplied the Nazis in World War II with machinery and machine parts, everything from machine parts to build nuclear weapons, to build the concentration camps. Klaus Schwab and his family were praised by name by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. So you're looking at a man who was raised in part as a Nazi, whose father was as a Nazi, whose family benefited from helping the Nazis. That's who you're looking at. So use your common sense. Okay, what they're going to do, you know, there's a total media blackout on the truth. They're lying to you because the people that are financing Klaus Schwab, like Vanguard and BlackRock, are financing, they control the media. So, of course, the media isn't going to say anything. Their goal is a massive reduction of the world's population. That's euthanasia. Primarily in a first step, the Western population or global north. Many or most of them are considered by the ruling elite useless eaters and consumers. Okay, so because they have the Nazi mentality, you don't forget that. Anybody that the elite consider useless eaters, people that just consume and don't give back to society, they want to kill off. And they are going to kill them off. Elderly people, by the way, are categorized as useless eaters and consumers. So they plan to kill off the elderly. Beginning in the 1960s, the world's total consumption of natural resources exceeded the factor of one of what Mother Earth just naturally was providing. The overconsumption reaches today, in the early 2020s, factors in 3.5 to 4.5 between Europe and the U.S. of Mother Nature's offerings. This refers not to just food, which is a renewable resource, but to primarily non-renewable resources, one of which is hydrocarbon, fossil fuels in the mid-2020 year, the year of the COVID lockdown, amounted for 84%, 87% in 2019 of all energy used worldwide. So, well, you can understand what that means. They're raiding the natural resources. The EU produced about 88 million tons of food waste, not food, but food waste, which they waste 88, the EU wastes $88 million a year at a cost of 143 billion euros. That means the European Union wastes about 20% of the total food produced. It could be recycled through technology, so there would be no waste. On a worldwide basis, one-third of all food produced for human consumption is lost or wasted. So this is what you have to understand about the lying and the propaganda of the globalist elite. There is not a massive food shortage, which is causing people to starve to death. Get that out of your head. What there is not a massive food shortage. There is a massive corruption in the management, caretaking, production, distribution, and preservation of food. There is no food shortage. But when the world is throwing away through pure waste one-third of its food supply, it wouldn't take much with the technology that they have to recapture the one-third of the global food supply that's being lost through incompetence and not caring. Okay, energy. Fossil fuels. The year of the COVID lockdown accounted for 84% of all energy used worldwide. So the actual COVID lockdown burned up and unnecessarily used massive amounts of energy worldwide. It accounted for 84% of all the energy used worldwide. Again, there's no energy shortage. This is due to a flagrant waste and mismanagement of energy that we already have. Do you see the lies and the deception? A huge shift of capital and assets are transferred. Now, this you got to pay attention to. Are transferred from the bottom, which is the working class, and the middle class, and mostly small and medium-sized business enterprises, to the top. So let's simplify this. So the globalist elite have a giant vacuum cleaner. They are sucking up all the financial assets, all the hard-earned monies, all the retirement, all the pensions, all the banking saving accounts that the hard-working working class saved and the hard-working middle class saved. The elite class steals all that money from the working class and the middle class. That's exactly what it is. They use they rewrite the laws to make their thefts legal. And what happens is the globalist elite and the Great Reset has stolen the majority of the assets and the monies of the working class and the middle class. And they've stolen it from the people at the bottom and transported it to the super trillionaires and billionaires who don't need it at the top. And they knew they were doing it the whole time. They knew they were doing it the whole time. All the COVID countermeasures, all the fake programs, all the lies coming out of Wall Street, all the lies hidden in the mainstream media are concealing the fact that the middle class and the working class that worked their tails off and built their own businesses and slaved for a lifetime and put away a pension and a savings and a retirement if they could. Those people, the people that worked the hardest, had all their monies, all their businesses stolen from them by the super rich and the globalist elite, who stole the monies of the working class and middle class and put it in their own pocket. And they didn't need any extra money. This is the global reset. Somebody ought to smack you in the face and stick you in a shower and put on cold water so you'd wake up. So, another proof. In the year 2021, according to Forbes magazine, this massive heist, which transferred assets and money from the bottom and middle class to the trillionaire class, according to Forbes analysis in 2021, this accounted for the creation of 2,755 new billionaires worldwide. man, if you can't see the theft that's going on, you need a new prescription. This is an increase of 660 new billionaires in the year 2020. Altogether, these brand new billionaires that stole the money of the working class and middle class, these brand new billionaires sucked up greedily an additional $13.1 trillion of your money. I don't know what part of heist you can't spell. Then in the year 2020, these billionaires sucked up an additional $8 trillion of the middle class and working class's money, their businesses. They robbed them blind, and they'll never get it back unless they stand up for it. And instead, you get some check in the mail that's pennies on the dollar. It's lost. The check you got in the mail, from the time it was mailed to you to the time it came to your mailbox, it lost 35% of its value through inflation. You want to know how to spell sucker? I'm not doing that to be cruel. I'm trying to wake people up. Okay, so these billionaires are worth $13.1 trillion, which is up from $8 trillion in 2020. And these massive monetary gains include increased value shares on certain selected stocks that only the globalist elite knew how to invest in. And then finally, the goal of the World Economic Forum is to digitize everything, including the human brain. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want your human brain digitized? Because that's what they're doing. Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the politicians that are lying to you are going to they're going to pass laws that force you to submit to the digitization of your brain, which just is an overly fancy word for they're going to force you to accept a nanochip implant or a microchip implant or a DNA chip implant. They're going to surgically, by force, stick it in your brain or bloodstream. Total invasion of your privacy. It will have the capacity, no exaggeration, to control your mind, to collect data on your moods, your physical health. You will be no longer human, because they're transhumans. You will be a cyborg, part machine, part human. Total control, total domination of the human mind. And the digitization of everything means converting humans genetically into transhumans. That's a quote from Klaus Schwab. But foremost, full digitization of money, which gives governments total and full control over you, the people's money, and the governments of those of the planned global government may seize your bank account in the future, and sooner than you think, the global governments may seize your bank account anytime they want to, simply because they deem, for whatever crazy reason, that you are worthy of punishing as a disobedient citizen, just like in communist China. So Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum calls this governance 4.0. Well, governance 4.0 is a fancy word for saying what would be more accurately described as totalitarianism 4.0, because that's what's coming. You will have an all-encompassing digital ID in which citizens cannot move, go, travel anywhere unless the electronic chip inside of you is broadcasting wirelessly. A total lockdown, totalitarian state. Oh God. I say, oh God, not to take his name in vain. May God have mercy on us. These digital IDs, they're invented now. I've been writing about this. You know, I'm not like a lot of the people that you listen to who got on board last year, the year before. My copyright dates go back 30 years. I have a book called Are You Ready for the Microchip? It was written years ago. I have another book called The Day the Dollar Died. It was written years ago. I was on this decades ago, folks, and saying what I'm saying now. An endless battle against, not the people, an endless battle against people whose minds have been captured and they can no longer think. I'm trying to set them free with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. So Bill Gates, he financed the digital IDs. The Bill Gates group invented Agenda ID 2020. And this is the mass forced distribution of digital implants, digital chips, which will make all your electronic payments, digital payments, and has virtually unlimited capacity of storing information about your private matters, like your health, your bank accounts, your properties, your consumption habits, your travels. Literally every step you take will be recorded, like reading your Bible. A completion of this three-step agenda is the real secret goal of the global reset and the real secret goal of UN Agenda 2030. The so-called UN development goals, called UN Agenda 2030, are nothing but an unrealistic smokescreen. They are intentionally blowing smoke in the eyes of the dumbed-down population, of which, unfortunately, evangelical Christians are among the dumbest down percentage of the population, and they have paralyzed the church because the church has surrendered the truth of the Bible. Most evangelical churches forbid the teaching of Bible prophecy. They forbid the teaching of all kinds of Bible verses. Most evangelical pastors, denominations, seminaries, and churches are in total rebellion from God and absolutely refuse to teach the truth of the Bible, especially in these matters, which is causing God's people to go into captivity and allowing the Luciferian globalist agenda to proceed full speed ahead. Okay, it's dangerous, it's crisis time, but God is still on the throne. If we, the people, decide that we're not going to let it happen, then with spiritual willpower and calling on Jesus Christ for miraculous prayer and walking in a state where no fear exists, this satanic agenda will not come to pass this year or for however many years the Lord will honor our prayers. But let me tell you something from the heart. The Lord is not going to honor our prayers if there are no prayers. And when you don't pray to God about these weighty concerns, and when you don't cry out to God and fast and repent of your apathy, that's the same as not praying. So if you want to know, if you're waiting on God to move, you're sitting upside down. You're not waiting for God to move. God's waiting for you to move. That's what a great awakening is. A great awakening is not sitting on your posterior waiting for God to move. A great awakening is when you move in obedience to God and in the power of His Holy Spirit. And as you are in the process of moving, and calling on God, God opens the windows of heaven according to your faith and according to his grace and unmerited favor. God opens the windows of heaven before he returns. God will open the windows of heaven on America and any other place. And God will pour out on America, even though it doesn't deserve it. God will pour out on America the enormous, earth-shaking power of his almighty Holy Spirit. God will pour out the dunamis, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, which will release with the dunamis, the dynamite explosive force of the Holy Spirit. And as we call on God in the same vein as the pilgrims and Puritans, and as we do serious business with Jesus Christ, and let me tell you something, the time is long overdue for the church in America to repent of playing church and to start doing serious business, kingdom business with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that is the accurate translation of the word occupy. When Jesus Christ commands us to occupy until he comes, the correct translation is that Jesus Christ is saying, do business, do serious kingdom business until I come. Now, if we will do that, and if everybody listening will do their part, whatever percentage that may be, none of us can do everything. If we will partner together, if we will unite together, if people will respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit to donate and give, so we have the financial resources necessary to vastly expand our outreach and make it more effective, if we will rise to the call of the Holy Spirit, we will find that we are not on the battlefield naked and by ourselves. We will find out exactly what Elijah discovered when Elijah saw the massive Philistine armies charging down upon them to slaughter the children of Israel. Elijah was freaked out of his mind, and Elijah the prophet heard the fear in the voice of his servant Elijah. And Elijah the prophet, and that spirit of Elijah the prophet is alive today. Please hear what I just said. The spirit of Elijah the prophet is alive today and speaking to those that are willing to hear the voice of Elijah the prophet. And Elijah the prophet cried out to God and said, Lord, open his eyes, open his spiritual eyes so that he can see. And so miraculously, in response to the cry of Elijah the prophet, God Almighty opened the eyes of Elijah's servant, whose name was Elisha. And all of a sudden, Elijah's eyes were opened, and he could see the spiritual reality that was all around him. And Elijah the servant cried out with a massively loud voice. And Elijah cried out and said, behold, the hills are filled with chariots of fire. And all of a sudden, Elijah the servant could see the massive armies of the living God, the warriors of the living God, the heavily armed troops of the armies of heaven that had descended upon the hills and had surrounded the armies of the Philistines. In addition to that, Elisha, the servant, could see the chariots of fire blazing in their glory. Yes, don't be afraid of saying it. The technology of God. The technology of God. And Elijah looked at the massive armies of Philistines with a fresh perspective, because he saw the massive armies of the Philistines and he was no longer afraid, because he saw the Philistine army, but he saw the mightier armies of the massive number of chariots of fire blazing in their glory, and the countless thousands upon thousands and thousands of heavily armed, heavily trained troops that just parachuted in, if you will, from heaven, the armies of heaven. And when the Philistine army saw this and heard about it, they went into total freak out fear mode. They were petrified. They were having heart attacks. They were bombarded with shock, and they fled for their lives. And in their hysterical reaction, they took out their swords and the Philistine enemy army began slicing their fellow Philistine warriors to pieces. And when the day was done, the armies from heaven prevailed, as Elijah the prophet declared. And when the day was done, the chariots of fire blazing in glory prevailed, as Elijah had declared. And so, my dear brother and sister in Christ, I don't presume to put myself in the status of Elijah or the Apostle Paul or anything like that. I'm simply an obedient servant of Jesus Christ. But with my obedience, I will raise my voice like a trumpet, and my voice will function as a shofar, and my voice will function as a trumpet blowing loudly the warning to God's people. And I say to you, at this moment, at this very moment, at this nanosecond in history, I say to you that the same God, the same supreme being, the same supreme commander, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, that sent the chariots of fire blazing with glory and sent down the armies of heaven heavily equipped like Navy SEALs or Rangers of something of that nature, they defeated the enemy. So I say to you today that nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. And I say to you today, as Elijah said to his servant Elijah, I say to you today that we, as the armies of God, are to rise in faith, never surrender to fear, and if we do that, we will take back the land. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.